Dave, Bev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time and for resort living every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au.
You know, yesterday, guys, how I told you over the summer we had a number of weeks off. Some would argue too many weeks off. We've got great holidays here in the radio industry. But I did say to you yesterday that I went to ground. I didn't do much. I just hung out at home. I didn't really go anywhere. It was
did
a
you
really
still
great,
have your phone, though?
It was a staycation. Yeah, I had my phone.
Okay. Yeah, but mate,
you wanted to get that out of the way early.
But mate, you went to ground, though.
I went to ground, and I will reveal more about that later. But I found it was really good. Staycations.
What did this femme fatale get up to?
Good forward sell.
A staycation is fun for the fact that you do get organised. Like usually if you go away and then you come home before you got to go back to work, you find things around the house you haven't done. I was doing things. I you know, prints I bought for Trixie's room when she was born, I was finally putting up on her walls. I mean, she's nearly four. It was like the poor things had bare walls.
That's just lazy. That's what that is.
No, it's really hard to get things done in my life, Dave.
Mate, I'm with you. I oil my decking, and that's not a euphemism. Yeah. I literally oil my decking.
See? That sort of stuff. Anyway, and I was catching up with friends I hadn't seen for ages because when you work this shift, and other people who are shift workers might relate to this, when normal people finish their job at, say, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., that's when we're going to bed. Mm. So it's hard to catch up with friends while we're at work. So anyway, I caught up with a girlfriend, hadn't seen for nearly 18 months, 2 years. And we went out for coffee and it was great bonding, known each other since we were at uni. So for such a long time. Anyway, in the course of the conversation, it was nearly wrapped up and I was even sitting there going, oh, it's so great to see old friends and catch up. And then she said, hey, I just want to talk about the elephant in the room. And I thought, what's the elephant in the room?
There we go.
And she said, you know, the fact that we didn't talk for so long.
Oh, you thought she was going somewhere else, didn't you?
Yeah. I haven't had that figure.
What have you been reading?
What have you been up to?
I told you those glossy magazines, like.
No.
Did
just
the heart
assumed,
sink a little bit?
No, I didn't. I've got nothing to hide. I thought the fact that we hadn't spoken for so long was because we both have busy lives. Right. And that's honestly why I don't speak to my friends for months on end.
What's so busy about your life?
Are you kidding?
We finish at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and then I go straight to Neighbours and I film there all day.
Oh, mate, that was for 6 weeks.
It's right now. I'll do it again.
The whole time I've known you, you pick up your car keys at 10 to 9.
Faith, what was the elephant in the room? This is a cliffhanger. What was the elephant in the room?
Well, apparently, 18 months ago, she sent me a text message to go to her daughter's birthday party, little six-year-old birthday party, and I never got back to her. Now, I don't even remember getting this text message, and I said to her, honestly, I never got that message, and if I did, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realise I didn't get back to you. And it was amazing to me because I thought to myself, you have bottled that up for 18 months, like that I didn't get back to one text message. Mm. Like, this is
well,
the problem
pretty important,
with...
important, though. It was a birthday. Yeah. You text me on my birthday.
Yeah, I know. But Fev, I'm denying getting it. See, let's be honest. Technology.
You can't deny a text.
Technology, guys. We cannot... Friendships have been ruined over technology. And if you, similarly to me, 131060, you've lost it. Well, no, let's talk about the text message you missed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, because it can often be someone will go, oh, bad luck you didn't come to the Ed Sheeran gig on the world famous rooftop at the secret location. What do you mean? You didn't get my text? Oh, that changed my life. That text message, not getting a text message, can change a life.
Hey, Fee, maybe I've cracked the case. Is her number saved under any of our names? Because I know you don't respond to any of us. Mate, is that the problem?
In fact, Fev and Art, my friendship with Fev could have fallen over Christmas because he sent me a message on Christmas Day, how are you? And I wrote back a long essay about how sick I was with gastro and he never
replied.
Merry
Christmas. How's everything going? Christmas morning.
Yeah, and then
he
I
said
went,
back, I've got gastro, everyone's crook. I'm like, it's Christmas Day.
And I didn't hear back from him. And I'm like, where's the caring message
okay.
back?
Well, that wasn't the text Fev missed. That's just the text Fev ignored. Yeah. What we want is
wish he did.
The text that you missed.
Text
this is good stuff.
You missed a job interview because you didn't read a text. Or your friendship. You haven't spoken to a friend for years because of a text message.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We are talking about the text message that you missed and how it affected your life. Friendships can fall over because you don't get back to a text message or you miss it. You can miss out on jobs. You can miss out on tickets to concerts because you didn't see the text from your friend.
Hey, Fee, may I ask you a question? Mm. How many friendships do you think have fallen over because you've missed this ex?
Don't know. I'm going to excuse anyone who works shift hours, and we are one. What happens to us, I find, guys, on our behalf, I'm going to speak. When you wake up at like 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. and you see a text from the night before, you go, oh, that's great. Oh, Erica sent me a text last night. I'll get back to it. But it's 5:30 a.m. I'm not going to write back now. Then suddenly the day goes by and you're like, I never actually went back to that. That's
good
what happens.
Point,
all my friends listening, I read your messages at 4:30 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Well, Son sent me a message yesterday about going to see the Book of Mormon, who you sent our listeners over to in London, which will be a great play.
A brilliant musical.
And Son sent me a message at like 10 o'clock, and as I just told you, Alex and I watched shows in bed all day yesterday and didn't get out, which was...
Did you?
I was just, just a really, really lazy day. And I texted her at about 9:30 last night when I got up to get myself some dumplings. And told her I sent her a message straight away. And she's like, oh, I didn't get it till like 9:20. It's like, oh, I sent it to you like at 11 o'clock.
Oh, so you lied.
But I lied. But she fell for it.
I see what you mean.
Right, there we go. That's interesting.
She falls for anything. We've got Luke from Berwick on the line. Hi, Luke. Luke.
Luke's ignoring our call.
We've got to talk. No. Don't worry about a text message.
There we go. We'll go to Todd in Hampton.
Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Todd. What was the text you missed?
So I missed out on a text from my agent telling me that I had a callback for a TV commercial.
See, Todd, that kills you.
Was it a Kleenex one?
No, it wasn't. It was a Hungry Jack's commercial of all things.
Oh, nice. I see what you did there, because then you'd cry because you missed
good.
It. Yeah.
That was a good
But
joke.
Todd, that could have been that ad... That ad could have been on air, and a Hollywood agent saw it, and then got you over to Hollywood to do a film. Like
exactly,
your whole career could have changed trajectory if you'd gotten that message.
Just two all beef patties, have the Whopper.
Nom, 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 nom. You're trying to be negative. If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have heard Feb Zinger. Like,
when it's in a KFC number one hit Zinger.
7:18 on the Fox. Yes, Fiona, you looked at me and pointed at me.
Where's Berwick
Luke
guy?
From Luke. Berwick's there.
Oh, well, he said he was there last time. I don't believe him. Luke, are you there this time?
Yeah.
Oh! Sorry, Luke. Byron missed you there. Luke, Byron, tell us about the text message you missed.
Yeah, so I was living in Bendigo at the time, working in the city. So I was leaving about 5 o'clock in the morning and just grabbed my phone, jumped in the car and drove into the city as I normally did.
Yeah.
A text apparently obviously came through at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock that morning saying that the business had closed down and there was no work.
And you've driven all the way to work and you
But I'm glad you didn't use your phone while you're driving. That's very mature of you.
That is actually really good.
Good stuff.
There's a good moral to that tale, Byron.
It's good thing we came back for that one.
I agree, mate.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Australian Open, guys. We're getting near the business end of the tournament and some of the big names are still in, which is fantastic.
Well, you would expect them to still be in, Byron. That's why they're the big names now. Rafael Nadal.
Sorry?
I did it, Dave. I did it. Rafael Nadal.
Yes.
Bingo. Four-set victory. How good was that yesterday? Now, we do have him on the line. This is exclusive. Australian Open have given us this access. Rafa, hi. I can't say your name very well.
Hello, everybody. This is fantastic moment for me. Thank you for having me on the show.
Rafa, it's a pleasure. Now, look, you played incredibly in your four-set victory against the informed Frenchman Gael Monfils. Down 4-2 at one stage, now in the fourth. How do you stay so focused in those situations, Rafa? Because it looked like you were going to lose it.
Well, you know, for me, 50 bucks, it is because I knew I was coming to the show very early this morning. And I did not want to go to 5-set because I knew I would be tired. And now I'm feeling unbelievable. Uncle Tony said 12 p.m. is past my bedtime, so I had to start playing better in order to appease him. And I did that, and I won the match.
Well, interesting you mentioned Uncle Tony, because after being coached by him for so many years, I mean, you've added Carlos Moya to your coaching team. What kind of influence has he had on your game? And is Uncle Tony jealous?
Well, for me, Carlos Moya is incredible. I have won many more titles. I am much better, and I beat him all the time in practice. But as a coach, he is very special to me. And Uncle Tony, sometimes he gets jealous, but I tell him it's okay, and I read him a little poem. So I will read this poem to you now.
Okay.
Uncle Tony, you are very special to me. It does not matter if I lose 6-1, 6-2, or 6-3. There is no other man I would rather have coach me than the one and the only Uncle sunny.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Really beautiful.
That really is lovely, isn't it? That is... That's...
And, well, you know, once I read this to Uncle Tony, he is not jealous anymore because I don't write poetry for Carlos Moya. He does not deserve it yet.
But this is so insightful, and you are obviously, you know, sharing with us this morning. So I did want to mention, I hope you don't mind, we heard that you recently underwent a hair transplant. Can you tell us the reason behind that?
Well, I was hoping you would not bring this up. It's very embarrassing for me, but this is true for me. I got stressed last year asking you on a date, Pity Bog, and because of this, my hair started to fall out, and I was forced to undergo a hair transplant. But this new hair for me is incredible. I am moving much more freely on the court, and I am more aerodynamic, and my hair is now stronger than my forehand, which is unbelievably strong.
Well, that's great to hear. Rafa, now finally, I know we've got to let you go. You've got things to do. But for the first time ever, you brought up the date that I didn't go on with you last year, but you've brought your girlfriend along this year who's been cheering you on in your player's box. Why did you decide to bring her? And is she the reason you're playing so well?
Well, my senorita is amazing. She is an incredible woman for me. She is a beautiful, strong, compassionate. You know, these are just a few words I would use to describe her. But for her, you know, she is very lucky to have the King of Clay. And the King of Melbourne, you know, violently she's pumping in her general direction when I hit a huge forehand winner, because I can only imagine it must be truly invigorating for her as it is for me.
Right. So there we go.
She is just as lucky to have a man of my caliber.
There we go. Thank you.
Thanks, Rafa.
That's Rafa there. Rafael Nadal, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to where'd you at, Rafa?
He's apparently very good friends with a mate of ours called Elliot Loney, who you can find on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Let's talk nicknames for a second. Beck Jard just revealed that her nickname at school was Twig Leg, which I get because obviously Twiggly, her maiden name, and because she's got such good legs.
Twig Leg.
Twig Leg. Twig Leg. My nickname, Dave, I've told you this. I reckon Byron, over our friendship, you would know. I don't know whether I've ever told you, Fev. My nickname at school was...
Boxy.
No, surprisingly. I never...
In the box.
I never got Boxy once at school. I know you find that hard to believe.
Short stuff.
No.
I too got chatty. The,
no.
Zip it.
My nickname.
Laugh awkwardly to get out of situations.
My nickname Ginger. At school was, why would it be Ginger?
Gingerbox.
Oh, man. My nickname at school was Joker Stripe Round Chunk Out.
Oh, that's what? Not a nickname.
It's not a nickname.
It was.
It's a saying.
No, Joker Stripe Round Chunk Out. That's what they'd call. And then it became just jokes. And then it became Chunk Out, then it was just jokes.
I don't like to be sexist at all, but you went to an all-girls college, and if that's the nicknames they can pull out, that women are terrible at nicknames.
Well, this is even worse, because you're right, it was an all-girls school. I'll break it down for you again. Joker, because when I smile, I look like Jack Nicholson, like from The Joker.
I thought that, mate, because you were funny, and I was like, ooh.
No, yeah, clearly not.
Hey,
clearly not.
Hey, Tin Turn, leave it there.
Joker good. For the mouth, the smile. Stripe, because when I laughed, my nostrils would flare and I'd get stripes down the side of my nose.
Do it.
Oh, I can't, because I think I thought like that. See how there's white stripes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There is.
And then round, because one of my ears is round and the other because it's got a chunk out. So they just sat there and pulled my face to pieces. Yeah, there's a chunk out on that one. So Joker Stripe Round Chunk Out, just all my... They just put all my flaws or faults into a nickname. Yeah. It's good fun at
it's
my
horrendous.
School.
It's horrendous. That's horrible. That's an awful, awful... It's bullying.
Yeah, that's bullying.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that all these years later. But the fun thing about nicknames, and even when I used to have that nickname, I was constantly having to tell people why my nickname was Joker Stripe Round Chunk Out. One of the most fun things, I believe, with nicknames is guessing why someone got that nickname. And we've done this on the show before. It could become a regular segment, Melbourne, if you get behind it.
Unlikely.
Call now. 13 10 60. Call now. We'll guess how you got your nickname.
Hey, this is your new nickname. Bad phone are never going to take off.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
This was Fife's idea. She reckons it could just take off and become, well, a daily segment.
Yeah, well, weekly. Let's push it out to weekly, fortnightly at the moment. No, 131060, call now. Tell us what your nickname is and we'll guess how you got it or how everyone arrived at that. And what I just learned about my team, the three men I work with in this studio, that you all have the most boring nicknames when you were growing up at school. I mean, you were Fev, Dave was Thornton, and Byron was Harper, some random 80s cricketer. Like, that's boring.
Roger Harper, he was the substitute fieldsman.
Well, we're going to bring up what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah. Fev then invented a nickname for you calling you mothballs because you never open your wallet.
Well, that's
and then for some reason, and I can't figure this one out, other than all roads lead back to Fee and Fee's life, that you went, moth to a flame, I'm the flame. Why would you be the flame?
That'd be Gabby.
My girlfriend. How have you made my nickname about you?
How is it all roads lead back to you in your life?
You literally had nothing to do with that.
Courtney.
Courtney, what was your nickname and people make it about her?
My nickname was Sparky.
Sparky.
My nickname to this day is still Sparky.
Okay, got a couple. Do you ever watch Callie the Cat from the Wild West cartoon? Because her horse was called Sparky.
That was your first guess! Hey, no. Are you an electrician?
No.
Well, that's it. That would be your first.
Oh,
guess.
Really? Okay.
Her last name would be Sparks?
Yes, there we go.
No.
You just happy? You like electricity? You're just one of those bubbly girls?
I wish that was it, but okay. No.
Did you put your finger in a socket or something?
You got electrocuted.
Close.
Ooh! We're on it.
We're on it. It was my guess.
Okay. Courtney, how did you get Sparky?
So when I was about 10 years old, I went to a friend's house for like the first time. And she had bunks and she had a chandelier over her light. And I thought it was like a spotlight. And thought it was great to just spin it and spin it and spin it and let it go and watch it like turn around until, yeah, the light fell. I blew all the fuses in her house.
There it is.
Nearly electrocuted myself.
Oh no!
There we go. And then Sparky.
So one incident with a chandelier, and you get Sparky for the rest of your life. I mean, nicknames are unfair. Scott from Carrum Downs. Hi, Scott.
How's it going,
Scotty? What's your nickname?
Pockets.
Oh, okay. You're tight. You don't spend money, and all your friends talk about your deep pockets, being ironic. And that's
Byron.
How you got pockets.
Yeah, yeah, not okay. Scott. That's Byron.
Okay, we've had enough of that.
No,
that's not it.
No, it's not.
Pockets. You wear jackets with lots of pockets.
Oh God, you're like cargo pants. No, are you good at snooker? You just smash it into the pocket.
No. That would be a good reason, but no.
Okay, you got a stump, Scotty.
Well. When I first started working at this company, for the first few weeks, I wasn't really learning anything out on site, and I used to stand around watching everyone with my hands in my pockets.
Oh, cool. I like that. Funny
solid,
guys you work with. Pockets.
Thanks, Pockets.
And finally, Tina from Moorabbin. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Constipated. What?
Oh, can I have a guess?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
Traditionally, the way this works, Brendan Favola tells a story from his huge archive of stories that cover his footballing career and all the other things that he's achieved in his life. But we have at times had guest Favolas, haven't we?
But we had his father. We had, you know, your dad. It was great having him in the studio to tell
Ange
a story.
Ange nailed that, didn't he?
No, seriously, Ange was brilliant.
He was horrific.
He was great. I love your dad. And today, could not love this member of the Favola family any more than we do. Lenny, the Len Dog's
Hi.
In the studio. Hey, Len.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, what a professional.
This will be
good. Like a professional Favola. Get that from your mum, don't you? Now, Len, what story have you got about your dad?
Well, on the holidays, we had tons of people over, so we had tons of people over and, dad was eating prawns, everyone was eating prawns and, dad was showing me a magic trick and he went to put down the card and the chair leg fully snapped off and he fell onto the floor.
So the chair he was sitting on?
Yes, he was sitting on it. It was a stable chair as well. So
it was a stable chair.
Really?
As he was eating all those prawns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, a couple of crannies contributed to that, mate.
Well,
you're breaking furniture.
Let's be honest. I was probably having close to a slab a day. And I got
drink responsibly.
I got up. No, it was during the day, so it's space.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I think I got up to about 128 over the Christmas
128?
Period. 128? Yeah, I was very big. And I was doing a magic trick, as Len said, and I literally leant over and the hole in front of everybody snapped in half. My head hit the back of the balcony thing, and everyone just laughed.
Not one person,
this one here, had tears running down.
I was crying. It was so funny.
Not one person said, "How are you?" Oh, look how big and fat he is. Oh, real funny.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
But then I got up and said, "That's my magic trick."
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
What about that, Lenny?
Yeah, well done, Lenny. Yeah.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Alan bought a medal last night, guys. Let's talk cricket.
What?
Was it last night? Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah. Triple M.
I want to talk all things cricket for a second.
I better say the Fox, just in case people, they just want to make sure we're listening to 101.9
The Fox. We dropped the point, didn't we?
The hit, guys.
Here we go. Last night at the Alan Border Medal, all the girls looking gorgeous. And I've often said this, and we say this usually around Brownlow time, the pressure on the wives and partners and girlfriends of footballers or cricketers or whatever sport is having a ceremony, I think it's so unfair that they suddenly come into the spotlight. Because more often than not, they're not public figures. They're not used to being photographed and being criticised and having papers have a go at what they're wearing. It's not fair. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, you're 100% right. I just can't believe we're talking about cricket. And I didn't even know this was on last night. That's how much of a big thing it was.
We're going to move very swiftly from cricket. And I wanted to talk about the gorgeous Brianna Hastings. Now, she's the wife of John Hastings.
Yeah, Johnny's a good man.
And she looked incredible last night. She's a stunning woman. And I have to talk about what she was wearing because it was a really gorgeous jumpsuit. And this is the problem you can have with lighting and when you don't know what your outfit looks like when you go under lights opposed to maybe your bathroom mirror, because the poor Brianna, she's worn shapewear underneath. And unfortunately, with the photographers on the red carpet or the blue carpet, whatever it was, you can see the Spanx. And
I was going to ask what shapewear was, but that's...
Well, that's what they are. When girls wear tight clothing and then under it, they wear tight shorts or a tight fitting dress. It's like a slip, but it pulls you all in and gives you a smooth line.
Oh.
That's the idea. That's what shapewear is.
Okay.
And I just wanted to do a shout out to Brianna because I have been there, sister. We've all been there. We've all had a shapewear disaster.
I've been there, if we want to talk about
that. When have you worn shapewear?
This is my little secret, and now I work on radio. We can let all this stuff out.
Mm. Is it a story of the Fevolution?
Probably. I've done enough stories. Well, our boss came in yesterday.
Just joking.
Well, our boss came in yesterday and said there wasn't enough stories. I reckon I told about three, so this is number four.
We didn't expect a shapewear story.
No. AB said that. Tell your corset story.
Pretty much very similar, Dave.
When
I play footy, right, on the weekends, because I've got a big stomach, so I look fat in my jumper.
This is not Carlton days.
This is now.
Okay.
So what I do is I get the tape and I tape around my stomach.
Gaffer tape?
Yeah. No, the ankle tape.
Yeah.
From probably underneath my boobs to the bottom of my groins, and I tape it all around, and then I'm all tucked in. And I look really skinny. And everyone always goes, what are you doing that for, mate? And I go, because I've got a really bad back and real bad groins. So it actually holds it in. But no, I'm looking on point because my guts is all stuck.
That's amazing. Yeah. You are taping.
I'm taping
your
stomach
down
so I don't look too fat.
Fev, that is amazing. I don't know what to say.
And I don't even know, but that was a good story.
I just didn't.
Well, that's the same thing you're talking about.
It's brilliant, Fev. 13 10 60. Call with your shapewear disasters or your shapewear. I mean, this is a
and everyone I've played
DIY.
Footy with in the last 5 years will go, that's why. Because some people go, oh, you're doing that because you're fat. And I'm like, no, I've got bad groins.
See, yeah, I was going to say, and I don't know whether the girls out there can relate to Fev's story about using gaffer tape to tape down their stomach.
No, it's ankle tape.
Yeah, but you know you can buy a corset. Like, you could actually
I can't
get
play a corset. What am I going to say? I can't make up some excuse about my groins when I'm wearing that, can I?
That's what you took from that. Fev goes to Honey Burdette before he gets out to the big game.
Actually, if I saw it, I would have thought it was a GPS system. You know, they track it.
Yeah, so I can make things up.
He gets into the locker room. You need 20 metres, mate.
I don't know whether girls can relate to this, but I had a shapewear disaster, and it happened up in Terrigal, somewhere you used to live.
Were you playing in the back line?
Terrigal FC, yeah.
I was on the Central Coast, and I was out one night with friends, and we ended up at the hotel up there?
It's the Crown Plaza at Terrigal.
It's the Crown Plaza at Terrigal. And they've got like a massive pool but fountain at the front. And it was like 3 a.m. in the morning.
Go for a dip, did
all it? A bit merry. And we went, oh, let's all get in. And all the girls were like taking off their dresses.
What? Are you an 80s film clip?
And then I realised.
Were you working for the band Poison?
How is this a shapewear disaster?
I had shapewear on. So all the girls are like, oh, we'll just get into our bras and knickers and jump in. And I'm like, no, I've got massive.
I've got my 1950s swimsuit on.
So you mean to tell me everyone's in there and you and Fev are standing off to the side. We can't jump in.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're talking shapewear. Now, I thought I'd have to explain to all the boys in the studio what shapewear was. Fev wasn't sure until he realised he wore it. And that is when you go. When you play footy, you wrap your stomach in tape.
Yes,
so just, that you can flatten
because I've got
it.
Sore groins and a bit of a sore back because I'm getting old, so I tape it up, and that's my excuse. But little does everyone know, or they do now, that really sucks in the big bulge I have.
Trim, taut, and terrific.
But what about the chicken fillets? Why do you have to wear them? Look, it's great cleavage, I've seen it, but just.
Dave! Too far.
Now, the problem with shapewear, though, as girls know, it can backfire on you. And often you get busted with it. You're wearing a dress that's see-through. People can either see your shapewear or you find yourself wanting to take your clothes off at a point in the evening and you go, oh, I've got all this shapewear on. Like when I went for that swim. Andrea from Cranbourne. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Andrea. Have you had a shapewear disaster?
I have. I was on my way to a wedding reception and I was busting to go to the toilet. So rather than unzipping my really tight skirt, I pulled it up, heard the massive rip, and then I was running through Maya in just my Spanx trying to find a new skirt to wear to this reception.
Oh, Andrea, running through the store.
Yep.
Kind of
like
you.
George Costanza when he's in the nudie suit trying to do a nude run at the Yankee Stadium.
You don't want to be busted running through a shop in your shapewear, but, you know, good on you, Andrea. Erica from Chelsea. Hi, Erica.
Good morning.
Erica, has shapewear backfired?
Well, I wouldn't call it backfired, but my husband creates his own shapewear with cling wrap.
Talk us through it, Erica.
So, basically, he cling wraps his midsection just to kind of tuck everything in, make it tighter and taut, and particularly when we've got a special function, a wedding or a gala night, and we've had a couple of times that we've had two or three weddings on the one night and it's 38 degrees plus, and yeah, he's wrapped in cling wrap.
That's great. Snap pretty fresh similar. Belly button, Lynn.
You know, if you put cling wrap around paint brushes, like, you know, when you do a painting, you wrap them around, put them in the freezer, and then next time you grab them in 6 months, it's still wet because it stays moist. There you go. Good story. Play a song. True.
That's a little hack from Fev there. Had nothing to do with anything, but...
It was clean, right?
Oh, good.
No, I just... There is a man after your own heart. I mean, I would have thought you might have taken something from that. Why don't you not tape yourself? Cling wrap yourself. Then you wouldn't have tape burn when you rip all your sports tape off
your
tummy.
No, but the cling wrap, when you sweat, would rip off. Like, it does. It won't stick.
You'd lose weight, though. Be like in your little mini sauna out there on the field.
But it won't work. It'll come off after a quarter. With the tape, it stays on. It's built to stay with sweat.
Okay, good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a good story by Erica. But
yeah, I thought she went toe to toe with your story.
Entertaining really. And informative.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Trump, POTUS, the President of the United States, he's already in a little bit of hot water after his inauguration. His press secretary, Sean Spicer, not a relative of his, all the rest of his team are all relatives, but not Sean. He held a press conference in which he falsely claimed that the previous day's crowd, so the crowd at the inauguration, was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration period. Now, he's then come under fire because people have said, well, that's obviously not the case. And then people have come out and said, no, these, because people are looking at him saying, that's not a fact, Sean, that didn't happen, it's not a fact. And he's going, oh, no, I'm presenting alternative facts. This is an alternate fact. It's not the facts that you've got. These are different facts that I've got.
Normally a fact is just a fact.
I watched all this, and that, when they showed that photo, it was... He'd just gone to the church. So it was like 4 or 5 hours away. But then they showed a photo later on and it was full.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So they're actually trying to put him down. And then I was watching the Channel 9 with Karl Stefanovic and whatever. And they go, oh, last time we here for Barack Obama, they were 10 deep. All the people were 10 deep. Then when he was doing his parade, they were like 20 deep. Yeah. He was saying they're only one deep. No,
fair.
Why lie?
That is that is very a great observation from you, because we are manipulated by the media and they do have an agenda, and we often have to, Donald may have a point. There could be alternate facts.
I think this is the point. There's a lot of confusion out there with alternative facts. What is a fact? What isn't a fact? We get that on this show. Who knows whether what FIFA is saying is in fact a fact or an alternative fact? It's very confusing.
What you just said was confusing.
Exactly.
I only speak in facts.
Thankfully, we have technology that enables us to speak to Fifi's brain, so we can at least sort out some of the facts on this show.
Connecting to Fifi's brain. Now connected. You can now hear Fifi's brain.
Well, I mean, these may be alternative facts or the actual facts.
Yo! Actor / radio host / awesomest person ever here.
Yes. Fifi's.
Well, here's a fact. I'm actually Fifi. That's not Fifi's brain.
Nah, it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
What am I thinking? I want another chocolate bar, see?
That's not what I was thinking.
Yeah, you were.
Okay. Fifi, and I'll ask you, Fifi Box. Were you really, actually the school captain at Tintern?
Yes, of course I was the school captain. You can get my principal, Sylvia Walton, on the phone. You can get Lynn Marshall, the deputy principal. You can find anyone you like from Tintern. I was the school captain.
Look. We don't usually agree, but she's right, I was the school captain. But the thing you don't know is that Pearl did some under-the-table work, and for a cool foul, what do you know, boom! Someone who barely got a vote was now El Presidente!
Your mother bribed the school?
Yeah. I never bribed the school.
Don't worry about that, mate. And I got all that money back in the first month. I got so many kickbacks, I should have been in the Panama Papers. It was ridiculous.
Okay. Fifi, you said once off the air that Adele was very much in your singing range. I mean, would you agree that that's an alternative fact?
No, that's a fact. Someone like you, it's one of the songs I can get pitch perfect. There we go. That's a fact.
Well, no, it's not a fact. There's no way she could get anywhere close to this guy. She sounds like a Dalmatian left out in the cold. She's not even close to the big dog.
Okay, barking again. With the facts as they stand, Fifi, do you think, when you look around this team, would you suggest you are the smartest person in this team?
This team in the studio or the entire team?
Let's just keep it simple and say maybe the four people in the studio, or three at the moment with a brain outside.
I might deliver facts, but I'm also humble, so I don't want to answer the question.
Luckily, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm the smartest here, guys, but only the smartest survive. None of you got in your contract, do you, that you have to be at the front of the billboard? This guy does! I can fire anyone in this team, all right?
Okay.
And after this segment, it looks like Dee Thorne may have had the tribal council speaking. You're out of here, son!
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Just about it for us, although we didn't get the chance to ask Fife about her first day back at Neighbours yesterday.
Brooke Butler, she's heading back to Ramsey Street. I think I'm allowed to say that. Didn't even check. But anyway, I'm back.
Is she causing trouble down there?
She left under, well, obviously, not great circumstances. I'm imagining you watched it and remember what happened.
I haven't had the chance.
Yep. All I know is the other lady's back. Toadfish's ex.
Yes. D is back.
I thought she died.
Well, how come you're across Dodie's storyline but not my storyline?
Don't know.
Anyway, well, okay, Brooke Butler, she ripped off everyone on Ramsey Street. She sold Dr. Carl a $30,000 ruby, and it was a fake. Anyway, she then, she's left, and she's coming back. Now, I can't tell you all the storyline.
Don't want to ruin it for us. How's it on set?
It's good, it's good. It's great fun on set.
Is it?
It's great. I love all the people I work with.
How's the rapport with everyone?
Yeah, really good, good rapport.
Are any neighbours becoming good friends?
Yeah, well, neighbours.
We're going to keep asking you about this stuff.
Lots of good friends.
You know, because every day we're really interested in how it's all going. So if you don't mind, we're going to check in with you.
Interested in how neighbours is
going. Every day. More the behind the scenes stuff.
I wonder how the D's going. Is it D? Is that what you
say? We just want to know how everything's clicking on Ramsey Street. That's all.
Anyway, we'll keep working on that.
You know the D.
The D as in toadies.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
We can say there's been a lot of speculation over the summer break about Fifi's love life, and we can confirm she's dating. Oh. And you'll actually hear her on a date next week on this show. So it's all very interesting.
I don't know about that.
There's a lot
that's
happening.
Next week on the show.
Anyway,
that's
it's after happening. 9. Let's go.
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could be on holiday every day. Pool, tennis courts, a bar and more, all in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au